Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Reading text 26 and 27 from chapter 22. Marriage of Kardamuni and Devahuti. Amantraya tammuni varam.
Amantraya tammuni varam.
Anugyata sahanugaha.
Anugyata sahanugaha.
Rataste ratam ahruya. Sabharya svapuram nripaha. Amantraya tamuni varam. Anugyata sahanugaha. Pratasthe ratam ahruya. Sambharya sapuram nripaha. Amantriya. Taking permission to go. Tam. From him, Kardama Muni. Munivaram. From the best of sages. Anugyataha, being permitted to leave. Saha anugaha, along with his retinue. Prataste, started for. Ratam aroya, mounting his chariot. Sa bharyaha, along with his wife. Svapuram, his own capital. Nripaha, the emperor. Translation, after asking and obtaining the great sage's permission to leave, the monarch mounted his chariot with his wife and started for his capital, followed by his retinue. Along the way, he saw the prosperity of the tranquil seers' beautiful hermitages on both the charming banks of the Saraswati, the river, so agreeable to saintly persons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As cities are constructed in the modern age with great engineering and architectural craftsmanship, so, in days gone by, there were neighborhoods called Rishikulas, where great saintly persons resided. In India, there are still many significant places for spiritual understanding. There are many rishis and saintly persons living in nice cottages on the bank of the Ganges and Yamuna for purposes of spiritual cultivation. While passing through the Rishikulas, the king and his party were very much satisfied with the beauty of the cottages and hermitages. It is stated here, Pashyan Ashrama Sampadaha. That's seeing the prosperity of the beautiful hermitages. Prabhupada concludes, the great sages had no skyscrapers, but the hermitages were so beautiful that the king was very much pleased at the sight. I'm going to read the next verse also. The king's arrival in the palace. Overjoyed to know of his arrival, his subjects came forth from Brahma Bharta to greet their returning Lord with songs, prayers, and musical instruments. Purport. It is the custom of the citizens of a kingdom's capital to receive the king when he returns from a tour. There is a similar description when Krishna returned to Dwaraka after the battle of Kurukshetra. At that time, he was received by all classes of citizens at the gate of the city. Formerly, capital cities were surrounded by walls, and there were different gates for regular entrance. Even in Delhi today, there are old gates, and some other cities have such gates where citizens would gather to receive the king. Here also the citizens of Barhishmati, the capital of Brahmavarta, or the kingdom of Swayambhuva, came nicely dressed to receive the emperor with decorations and musical instruments. Several cultural points. Those who are elevated spiritually naturally manifest refinements of civilized and cultured expression. When, at least from our Western perspective, when you say culture, like you say Prabhupada spoke of spreading Krishna consciousness through cultural presentations. So we think of cultural presentations in that sense of being traditional dance, traditional music, traditional drama, and other forms of cultural expression like architecture and art as expressions of a particular culture. So, that usage of the term cultural expressions or cultural presentations rest upon something else. They rest upon the internal culture of an individual or a group of individuals, a society. One time, this is an example of this, one time we were on a morning walk in Central Park with Srila Prabhupada, and at different times he would go to different places. This particular time was on the east side of Central Park, just above 72nd Street, where there's this pond, like a mini lake, with it's man-made with a cement walkway all the way around it, rectangular in shape, and then it's intended for children because all around they have statues of storyteller personalities from America's history, this one, that one, and they would bring groups of children to the park and to that place and sit at the feet of Longfellow, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and recite the stories of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Ichabod Crane, and so on and so on. And, you know, just so entertain the children, and their people would, children would sailboats out in the lake and anyway. So it was a nice setting. So we were walking around the lake, and from time to time Prabhupada would stop and ask who is this and what did he say, and he would shake his head and speak about Vedic culture. So when we got to the north end of the park, with Prabhupada cane, he pointed at a path and said, where does this go? So the indication was it heads towards the museum of one of the museums, the Museum of Natural Art, or Museum of Modern Art, Museum of Modern Art. So Prabhupada nodded and started walking along the path. And it was kind of a forested area, and when we got out of the forested area, all of a sudden it was a big clearing, and just up on the hill you could see Museum of Modern Art, but just before that was a sculpture. The sculpture was a sculpture of twisted metal. Like grotesque, big, twisted metal sculpture. And Prabhupada pointed at it with his cane and says, this is the mind of modern artist. Modern society is convoluted and twisted like this. Very. Art and culture is an expression of consciousness. Just like the phrase swabhavajam. Brahma karma svabhavajam, kshatriya karma svabhavajam, vaishya karma svabhavajam, shudra karma svabhavajam. From svabhava comes the exhibition of duty and behavior and speech and other forms of cultural expression, dance, music, and art and literature and so forth. Out of nature. So if one has elevated, very elevated, refined nature, then those expressions will also be very refined and elevating to the consciousness. So in this whole section of the Bhagavatam, third canto, we're getting a glimpse at side by side two different classes, the Brahmana class and Kshatriya class, but both of whom are very, very elevated in how they respectively manifest culture, how they manifest culture in their dealings with one another. That's one of the first things we find. Not only the fabric of respect, but the way in which that respect is exhibited one unto the other. And because there's this mutual respect one unto the other, they can easily understand one another, they can easily communicate to one another, they can easily appreciate the fine qualities of one another, and everything goes up because there's both this respect and refinement of culture resting upon their svabhava or their nature. But it's a very nice exchange, very important exchange. Because we also find in the world people of different natures than ourselves. And where society will become elevated is where there is respect, although there's differences. Differences in ways of expression, differences in ways of living. But especially where respect is due because of spiritual focus, then it's very pleasing. Very pleasing to participate in, or it's very pleasing to observe, or it's very pleasing to see the outcome of those exchanges. So, here in these two verses, we're getting a glimpse at the respective residences of a brahmana and a king, a kshatriya, and the nature of the brahmana's residence is in the mode of goodness. It's in a very peaceful setting. It's along the bank of a sacred river. And it doesn't go into detail, but one can, in Ramayana, there's nice detail described there of the hermitages, the rishikulas of this rishi and that rishi, and it's all the signs of auspiciousness, they select a place that's very pleasing to the eye and has whatever natural beauty, trees and flower-bearing plants and fruit-bearing trees and just natural beauty. And their very presence also increases and enhances. Like when Ram goes to the hermitage of Agastya Muni, he wanted to go visit him. And when he enters into that region, it's superlative, even compared to all of the other residences of the other rishis. So, Kardama Muni's residence, in one sense, it's solitary, but in the other sense, because of his elevated condition or position, it seems that there were other similar-minded persons who wanted to associate and be in proximity and take his association. And so on both sides of the Saraswati, there were cottages and this very beautiful scene. So in very explicit language, Prabhupada says there were no skyscrapers, but that beauty is not a skyscraper. Beauty, natural beauty, is far greater. Like this nice discussion that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita when comparing the opulence of Dwarka, because Dwarka is manifesting the fullness of Krishna's opulence. And two of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers are discussing which is more opulent, Dwarka or Vrindavan. And when the devotee who is the Vrindavan fan starts speaking about the opulences of Vrindavan, everyone is very pleased and begins to laugh. The opulences of simplicity and natural beauty far surpass the opulences of grand splendor. And even Prabhupada speaks about that in terms of Dwarka, when Krishna returns to Dwarka. The description includes very beautiful parks filled with trees and birds and fountains, and Prabhupada comments that a wealthy person, one who has such means, he'll make a summer cottage or some place that's in a quiet place, although his wealth and influence may be in the urban setting. His opulence is manifest when he has this pleasant place to live in simplicity. Anyway, that's the residence of Kardama Muni. It's replete with features of mode of goodness, opulence, natural beauty. And that natural beauty, that mode of goodness, opulence, is conducive for his spiritual practice, which is his swabhava. And then the next verse we hear, the king is returning to his royal palace, and gives three different terms. Barhishmati, and the capital is Brahmavarta, or the kingdom of Swayambhuva Manu. So he's the emperor of the universe, he can live wherever he likes. And one might imagine it's very opulent. But it's not only very opulent, that the citizens are very attached to their very qualified leader, their king. As much as loving children are attached to their loving parents, they're very attached to their loving king, because the king cares for his citizens like children. Although they may not be biological family members, they're his family, and he's caring for them in that way. And so they're feeling very protected and very safe and very happy, and he's feeling very affectionate towards them. And so when he goes on tour, they're missing his presence, and when he comes back, all of their skills, their cultural nuances of song and musical instruments and words of praise are immediately offered. We just had this very interesting experience in Mayapur during our TBC meeting. Jayapataka Maharaj was healthy enough to travel, so he came from Bombay to return to Mayapur. And just as it's described here, there was a little reception for him at the gate. Of course, the devotees couldn't wait at the gate. They wanted to go down the roadway a little bit and receive him with kirtan and kind words and offering of flower petals and so on. So it was appropriate because he's returning. Not like precisely the king returning to his palace, but a very revered personality returning after long absence and after a life-threatening situation that he survived. So they're very happy and expressed it. And it was very moving. Or similarly, when Sridhar Maharaj, our godbrother, had a terminal hepatitis C condition, we did the same thing. He made every effort to find a cure, tried this and that, and resigned himself to what the doctors were telling him, that days were numbered. And so he returned to Mayapur, and his return to Mayapur was very grand reception at the gate, along the walkway leading into the temple, and going into the temple and darshan of the deity. And he was in tears just at how kindly he was received. So like that, when the exhibition of refined feelings and expressed in a appropriate manner, appropriate for the person and the circumstance. By that I mean, if Kardama Muni were for some reason to visit Brahma Vrata, the place of Swayambhuva Manu, the reception might be very different. But it would be appropriate to the person and the circumstance. And so a refined, cultured person certainly needs to consider what's appropriate for the person, the place, and the circumstance. Desha, kala, patra. But with the thought to bringing auspiciousness and genuinely expressing one's pleasure, it's appropriate. And when those kinds of cultured expressions are there, it makes it so much more inviting and conducive to receive whatever spiritual benefit might come from such a person. Either the emperor Swayambhuva Manu, although he's not a brahmana, he's eminently qualified. One of the 12 Mahajans. So great, great personality. And the citizens are relying upon that spiritual qualification of their leader, their emperor, their king, to elevate them towards life's ultimate goal. So when cultural presentation is made, it doesn't just mean, you know, okay, at the Sunday program we're going to have a Bharatanatyam dance or something. That's one idea of cultural presentation, but it's far more than a dance or a drama or a musical presentation. It's the all of that rests upon the quality or the character of the individual and the collective individuals, the temple. When persons come to the temple, however it might be nicely decorated, what's even more moving is the quality of the individuals, the swabhava of the residents and those who receive the guests who come and interact with them. How we behave amongst ourselves is a far even more compelling than a nicely decorated presentation. As far as opening of the heart. Say it the other way, when that to opening of the heart to receive the gift of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, when that character or quality is there, then the external things will also reflect that. We want to, according to our capacity and means and so forth, provide that. But towards this one end, towards the one end of fixing our consciousness upon Krishna, becoming drawn to Krishna, being elevated out of the material contaminations that surround us and become awake to our natural Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam is very nice like that. Just by reading these descriptions, it helps to carry us there. So next we're going to hear more about the city of Swayambhuva Manu. Okay, any questions or comments from anyone?
Looking a little bit into the future, how are we to create this cultural refinement so that our communication amongst one another as a worldwide movement becomes more effective?
Small question. It's a sacred item. I'll just... The foundation needs to be very firm. Foundation of purity and foundation of respect. And when there's purity, and from purity, genuine respect, it serves the purpose that you just described. You're making relationships refined. And if there's some discrepancy, it helps to overcome that discrepancy. And you can say the converse. Respect is weak, then people read into what is said and what is done, all kinds of, you know, malicious motives and intentions, and strife ensues. Have you noticed that too, huh? And it can be, you know, person to person, and it can be groups of persons to groups of persons, and so the culture of respect and trust is important. But one has to be worthy, trustworthy, so that it starts internally. We must, as far as possible, become representatives of those qualities which Prabhupada speaks about, that a Vaishnava should have, and therefore we're getting these nice descriptions of what are the qualities a Vaishnava should have, and we may be far away, but we should strive for that in our internally and in our dealings with one another. We got lots of opportunity to practice. That's a short answer. You know, the application part is humongous, but that's the foundation. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.